You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
From the Crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street, next to T White Spikes.
Hi, Troy.
Hello.
How are you this morning?
Well, I'm good, as you know.
Yeah, you are looking very chipper. You've got your smile on. You've got your cool as snappy clothes on. Somebody texted and said that they have a theory that Troy is a snappy dresser and has a cute smile. Would I be correct?
They couldn't be more wrong.
I think that they're correct. Alice, what do you think?
Yeah, it seems like a good description.
Seems so. So, like, look at your hair. You've got, like, this, like, little poof, little wave kind of going on.
A little what now?
Sorry, I said the wrong word. what are we going to be starting the show with today?
Well, today, we've been planning this one for a few weeks because we've known about this for a few weeks.
Yes.
And the rest of the world didn't know until someone in Canada accidentally let the cat out of the bag last Friday.
Who did that?
A record store in Canada. This was going to be a surprise release, and it was always going to come out yesterday worldwide. And all of the shops, the independent shops, were like, shipped this a few weeks ago and everything, and we weren't allowed to talk about it, weren't allowed to, you know, say it was coming up or anything. And it is, of course, the new Burial single.
Awesome.
It is the 100th release on Hype It Up, so it is HDB 100.
Cool.
It is a single entitled, well, the weird thing was, on the boxes we had, it just said artist title. Well, on all the paperwork, it just said artist title. But on the boxes, it said Unkillable.
Unkillable.
Yeah, and that's not the name of the tune. Young Death is the name of the tune, backed with Night Market. It's the first thing we've heard. Well, we did hear Burial and Zombie together earlier this year, which was another surprise release.
Can you tell us a little bit about Burial?
Well, no.
Okay.
Because no one knows. Well, he may or may not be a man called Will Bevan.
Right.
He may or not be that slightly bemused Caucasian man that you see off a web camera picture. He might not be. But basically, Burial's been making music for 10 years, predominantly instrumental, atmospheric-based thing. It's almost like he basically invented a whole kind of tone. Like, Burial music doesn't really sound like anything else.
Cool, that's awesome. But he's a mystery.
Well, yeah, but people kept on trying to, like, expose who he was, and then it came out, I'm Will Bevan, thank you for listening to my
Burial
songs.
But he's collaborated
songs
with a lot of artists.
Yeah, he has. Well, they obviously know who he is, but I don't know. I don't mind. I don't mind who he is. I don't mind who Banksy is. I don't care.
If anything, I think it adds to it, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. To me, it's just about, are his records good? In my opinion, yes, his records are really good, and a lot of people think so. He's easily the most successful artist on Hyperdub, and probably the most successful inverted commas left field electronic musician in the world.
What is a left field?
Well, I was just trying to think of, you know, someone who isn't like Daft Punk or something.
Right.
Someone who it's not dance floor based music. It's cool. Not, you know. This single is fantastic. In fact, rather than me just talking about it, let's listen to it. By the way, all the crackles you hear on it are actually on the record. They're either the sound of fire or the sound of record crackles, but it's not because this vinyl we're playing is scuffed up or anything, because it ain't. Guess what? We're going to give one of these away as well. How's that?
I know.
Hey, child.
There you go.
Thank you.
Isn't that good?
Something different, isn't it? Something special.
It is something different from Burial. It's I would say that it's as possibly his most pop and accessible record.
It's just mixed with so many different things as well. Like you're jumping from one sound to the next, but there's still like that continuity. Like there's still that flow.
Yeah. Now, if we flipped that record and played the other side, if we played Night Market, it would be much more what you would expect from Burial. It's way more of a, I hate to say ambient piece, because ambient, people use that as a genre, when rather than the noises or something around. Does it sound like a Night Market the other side? Yeah, I guess so.
Awesome. And hey, we've got this on record to give away to somebody.
Yeah, we'll give away a copy of this. Now, the cool thing about it, well, not cool, maybe if you don't get in to the shop or don't win it, is that Hyperdub shipped their entire pressing of it already. So you can't get it on Burial's Bandcamp anymore. It's sold out. If it's once it's gone from the shops, it's gone.
So if you want to win this, we're going to do a text one today. So text into 53395. You know, give us a little something about why you like Burial, even if you've never heard of Burial and this is the first time. Yeah, just send us a text being like, hey, I'd love to win this. And we'll choose somebody at the end of the show to give... give this record two.
Okay. Now, right at the very, very, very end of that Burial Young Death track, what could you hear?
Massive Attack.
Correct. Massive Attack Teardrop. The rhythm came in.
Yeah.
And because of that, it put me in mind of the fact that this week, Blue Lines, Protection and No Protection, i.e. the first three Massive Attack long players, are being re-released on vinyl, on 180-gram vinyl with a download code, coming out tomorrow.
Cool.
And that also coincided with this cool promotion we're doing at the shop at the moment, is if you buy a record in our shop which has a sticker that says The Sound of Vinyl, you can write your name on a piece of paper and put it into a box on the counter and go into a draw to win a Project Abu Carbon turntable.
Awesome.
And we're not going to string people out forever. It's less than 3 weeks.
Okay.
I think the 19th of December. It's so someone gets a turntable for Christmas. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, let's go back to Massive.
Yes.
The second album, Protection, it was, I hesitate to say whether it was their commercial breakthrough, because, of course, Unfinished Sympathy on the previous record was probably their commercial breakthrough. But I think this was the first record which arrived with any big weight of expectation behind it.
Okay.
And what I really, really like about this record is that it's so diverse, it refuses to just be one thing.
Mm.
There's like Horace Andy's on two of the tracks. Both of them are like kind of reggae, obviously. You know, there's some instrumental sort of jazz funk sounds on there. There's a couple of the tunes with 3D and Tricky both rapping on them, but in a particular way.
I think that's what I really like about Massive Attack, is they always kind of, each song is so different.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why it always just baffled me as to why the media was so intent on saying they are a trip-hop group, they are this. Why do you want to reduce it to that? And in fact, what is it you're reducing it to?
Mm.
You know, what is the sound that you're talking about? They're not like that. Or the media was also going, the Bristol sound. Yeah. Now, not everyone in Bristol sounded like that.
Do you think
that
they're going to be releasing any more albums? Because they've released a couple of tracks this year.
Well, no, there was the two EPs this year. Came out. I don't know if they're going to do more albums.
Because it's more one, because there's two, I don't know my Massive Attack facts very well, but there's two people in it. There's Daddy G and 3D.
Yeah, and there used to be Mushroom was like sort of the third of the triumvirate.
But is it Daddy G that's mostly writing?
No, it's 3D mainly these days. But I have a suspicion that 3D was quite often in the driver's seat even back in the day, you know,
right,
back when they were the wild bunch in the 80s.
Okay.
Speaking of which, let's play the tune.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay, why I want to play this tune particularly, Eurochild, it resonates on a number of levels. The front cover of Protection, there's a funny little guy that looks like he's made of marshmallows. That's the Eurochild. They use that in concert, and it was like part, all these disparate parts coming together to make something coherent. i.e. like the European Union. Oh, whoops, Britain's gone from that, haven't they? The other thing is that it was the last song Tricky did with Massive Attack, and he reused some of the verses, well, some of the lines from the verses reused in his solo material, particularly on this one. I think Hell Is Around the Corner, he reused a lot of the lines in, and also in this one, Tricky basically did verbatim a line from the Specials' Blank Expression, and not just the line verbatim, but the phrasing is exactly like Terry Hall's phrasing. I think this is a great tune. This one,
Eurochild,
yeah, from September 1994.
Gosh. I wasn't even born.
Neither was I.
In 1994.
I don't think I was born then.
Oh, okay.
Sitting in shout to the zins and schisms. They're living out of scale. If you believe I deceive, then common sense says surely receive. Let me take you down the corridors of my life. And when you walk, do you walk to your preference? No need to answer till I take further evidence. I seem to need a reference to get resident. A reference to your preference to say I'm a good neighbor. I trudge as they judge me from my labor. Sense danger, you look at me, girl. If I was some kind of a total stranger,
hysterical, static, automatically stacks. Hard to get a drink or a girl to relax upon phone. No, no go zone to go through. 8 kilo weights just to relocate you. You're careless with your fist, now baby, mix it with me. You see me function better when I get approximately high by my typical flyby. The sun in my eyes are good.
You are bringing in the bangers this morning, Troy.
Doesn't that sound good? Even,
yeah,
you know,
so
all this,
good.
All these years later, it still sounds great. Now, that tune basically is kind of a cover, not a cover, a sort of a read. Okay, well, let me just say this. There was a song called Cheetah by a group called The Startled Insects, who were from Bristol, from the same kind of...
The Startled
Insects. They were on the Antilles label back in the late 80s. Anyway, it's The Startled Insects who are replaying that with Massive. Like, I think they were called The Insects then. I think they even co-produce on that tune along with Nellie Hooper and Massive themselves. But, yeah, so it was a Startled Insects tune, which was like, gave the impetus to the whole sound of that, and the tune was called Cheetah. It was a good one.
Awesome. I have to check it out.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. What, should we move on to the next one?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. I mean, I'm very excited for this.
Well, what leads us on to the next one? Okay. Now, the line I made you listen to in that, turn up this line here, it was a bit about watching TV and the BBC and turns to neon blue, right? And I always think that the use of colours in music is really great, whether it's stated implicitly or used in a way that, like, gives you the entire impression of the colour.
Mm.
You know, like that Dave Bowie thing, blue, blue, electric blue, that's the colour of my room. You know, I remember first hearing that and you could feel the colour. I don't know why. Anyhow, awesome. Why does this relate to the next thing we're doing? Well, the next thing we're doing is Kate Bush.
Woo, huge fan.
New Kate Bush live album, have taken from the series of 22 shows at the Hammersmith Apollo.
And when did she do that?
2014.
So not that long ago.
And it was her first shows in 35 years.
Why, is there any...
Are you going to let me say about the colour thing?
Yes, but I just want to ask one question quickly. Can I ask one question quickly?
All right.
What was her vocals like?
What were they like?
Are they strained at all? Like, because she's a bit older.
No. You know?
Okay, cool. I'm just asking that question.
No. She's a great singer. Singers don't necessarily, you know, she probably hasn't, like, smoked cigarettes for 35 years. Not everyone turns into Bob Dylan barking their head off. Like that, you know. As much as I think Bob Dylan's voice now is better than it ever was.
But what I'm meaning is I love it when you get an artist that you've been listening, like, you listen to them when they're really young. Like, I mean, Joni Mitchell for me is, like, a really good example of this. You know, when she was younger, she had, like, a really kind of, like, high-pitched, like, the tone was always, like, really on point. But then as she got older, she kind of, like, really rounded her voice and changed it into something a bit more, like, ghostly and, like, deep.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of wondering if Kate Bush went along a similar line of just, like, she really listened to, like, the tonal differences in her voice and kind of, like, used to that.
Well, you're probably right. I mean, because I think a lot of people, as they age, they lose some of the top part of their range. But I didn't really notice that her voice is that much different.
I think that's just something that I do tend to listen to that quite a bit when I listen to music, is like the tonal difference.
Okay, well, when you listen to this 4 LP set or 3 CD set or whatever of the entire show, you'd probably be able to tell better than me.
Because
I'm not 100% familiar with all the source material. I only heard a couple of Kate Bush records, which I quite liked.
Mm.
And I had heard the one that we're going to play. This, and why I was talking about colours before.
Right, yeah, sorry.
This tune is called Lily, and it starts with a sample of a woman speaking. And the woman speaking, her name is Lily, and not Lily from the Top Ten, but she's one of those odd spiritualist healers who believes that by imagining colours you can heal yourself.
Cool.
I don't know if that, you know, the veracity of that, I have no idea. But she starts the thing, and the song is kind of about her, but the song is also about those archangel things.
Mm.
You know, those popular, not popular angels, you know, the big ones like Michael and Gabriel. And
yes.
I don't know if they're warrior angels or what. But anyway, yeah, so that's beside the point. Anyway, Kate Bush, after 35 years, thought, right, I'm going to do some live shows finally, and I'm going to pour so much into it. It's all about projections and puppets and
awesome.
Different actors and different this and that, like a massive production. And instead of releasing a surround DVD so people can re-experience it, I'm releasing a no overdub live LP. So it is just about the music.
Which is brilliant.
Lily is the name of the tune.
Thanks to Kate Bush.
I think, was this song originally on the Red Shoes? It was, eh?
I don't know.
I think it was. In the early 90s, the Red Shoes. I'm pretty sure this is where I heard this one from.
This is Lily.
O thou who givest sustenance to the universe, from whom all things proceed, to whom all things return, unveil to us the face of the true spiritual sun, hidden by a disk of golden light, that we may know the truth and do our whole duty as we journey to thy sacred feet.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely astounding.
Thank you. What a lovely welcome. Thank you.
Oh my God, Kate Bush. That is Kate Bush, Lily. You can go get that record release out at Southbound.
From the crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street, next to T White Spikes.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.